Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at worldsweeper.com. I'm speaking with Al Garza, the Public Works Director for the City of Pensacola, Florida. Welcome, Al.
Good morning.
If you would talk about what the City of Pensacola has been doing, where you think you're headed, and you mentioned that you've had a fleet of Pelicans, that has worked well for you, that you are evaluating regenerative air because of the literature in terms of small micron particulates and so forth. And from our previous discussion, your perspective is a good one for people to listen to because you are in a situation with lots of trees, and I think this is something that many public works directors, where there's a lot of vegetative cover, run into with the question of, should it be broom or should it be air? So I'll let you take it from there.
What we've done is incorporated our street sweeping program into our stormwater activities section. We're a little different than most municipalities in that our elected body has set a goal for pollution reduction in this area. And staff-wise, we're trying to accomplish those goals. And it doesn't sound like much, but a 50% reduction in pollution loading from stormwater is a formidable task in an area that is 95% developed and that prior to 1982 had no stormwater treatment facilities. We find ourselves in a situation where we're having to go back and retrofit existing areas for stormwater. Our general rule of thumb is we try to get to the whole city once a month, but it's usually on a 4 to 6 week cycle during the fall and the early spring when we're having trouble with leaves.
You're actively evaluating your area to say at times we should be trying to sweep this area before it rains, and
right,
we should emphasize our approach at different times of the year because you recognize what the material is on the ground.
Correct.
Well, that makes perfect sense too.
And you can tell it's interesting. We plotted material collected versus rainfall precipitation on an annual basis, and they just track each other perfect. Well, one of the things we've explored and determined is that our street sweeping operation is one of our most effective pollution reduction efforts. The city has been street sweeping for over 30 years, but we've never tried to categorize the impact of that effort as it relates to stormwater pollution reduction. And then with the advent of TMDLs and nutrient limitations on receiving waters, this is becoming more and more of an issue. With political jurisdictions, how do you reduce the impact of your stormwater in the most cost-effective manner? We did a self-analysis of our practices and procedures through a reputable consultant here in Florida, and we reviewed the stormwater, the street sweeping capture rates over the last 10 years and the practices that we use, looked at the stormwater ponds, the pollution reduction we were getting through those, and we've incorporated a lot of proprietary subsurface units in the last 6 to 8 years. So we have a number of those. And just, putting everything down on paper, summarizing the results, it turned out that our street sweeping efforts were equal to our stormwater ponds and treatment units. So we were very pleased about that. And talking to other jurisdictions around the state of Florida, Orlando is very strong in street sweeping. We're on a once-a-month cycle in Pensacola, where Orlando is on a biweekly cycle. So, of course, their service areas are a lot larger and their percent capture is greater, but they're also finding the same thing. That's where we're at, Ranger.
Well, it makes sense, Al. What you're saying is actually well backed up by documentation. Study of structural BMPs by Caltrans indicated that the cost of pollutant removal per pound, as TSS, runs about $10 to $60 a pound, which didn't include land costs, real estate costs. Mm-hmm. In contrast, sweeping it appears that mechanical broom sweepers can reduce TSS at about $5 to $10 a pound, and regenerative air and vacuum-assisted look to be $2 to $5 a pound. They, of course, pick up a lot of large material as well as just the TSS. So it does make sense to look stronger at your street sweeping program. And the combination, you have done what I have advised here editorially for some time, which is, especially in the days of having stormwater fees that are being collected in many jurisdictions. And do you do that there?
Yeah, we've got stormwater.
Yeah, so by combining your stormwater department with your sweeping department, you have the budget to look at the sweeping and say, okay, how often should I sweep and with what kind of machines? And when the cost per pound picked up by a sweeper for the last pound I picked up equals the cost of the first pound captured in the runoff stream, then I quit sweeping and I start doing capture with whatever, from grassy swales to catch basin filters and so forth.
Bob, what we're doing right now is we're participating in a study through the Florida Stormwater Association, 18 other jurisdictions in the state of Florida. We have swept different land uses, state highways, rural areas, residential areas, very carefully collected these samples and sent them over to the University of Florida, where they're pulling all this information together. And the end result is to have a measurable quantity of pollution reduction with regard to nutrients. We all know we have vegetated waste in this material. We have chemical participants.
Sure, all kinds of chemicals, sure.
Mm-hmm. But, right now we're just guesstimating. When I take a load of street sweepings, I can run it through a Trimble screen. I can determine 90% of it by weight is sand or sediment. By weight, 10% is organic materials. It doesn't tell me, how many pounds of nitrogen are in every ton of the street sediments I pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're, the next phase that we're going to try to quantify from a nutrient perspective, what are the benefits of street sweeping with regard to nutrients.
What have you been doing for disposal so far? Have you been trammel screening, or what's the situation for disposal?
For the last 10 years, we've been taking our waste to a Class 3 landfill, and the reason for that is that the state of Florida had classified it a Class 3 waste, that it needed to go to a lined landfill. And as a result of that, we were paying disposal fees. But 2 years ago, we explored the possibility of incorporating a Trimble operation to separate the Class 3 waste and the vegetated waste from the sediments. And we put that into operation, and it's reduced our landfill fees by 90%.
And are you able then to use the sand and so forth as landfill cover, or what happens there?
Yeah, we'll use the sand as subgrade material, and you can't use it as a top dressing in Florida, but we can use it as subgrade material. Pipeline, it's excellent for trench fills. If you're digging a pipe somewhere and you have unsuitable material, we can come back and use this material, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
The vegetated waste, it's at, since the Class 3 has been removed, it's at a much lower rate. It's at vegetated waste rates, not garbage rates.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of a truckload, out of a 20-yard dump, we'll end up with maybe 2 or 3 cubic feet of Class 3 waste, but we actually have to take to the dump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a big difference, and it's environmentally much more appropriate disposal methods.
We tend to follow. We're not the innovators in this area. City of Tampa has got a very large street sweeper operation, and they put a major facility into operation, and they shared the information, and we were able to scale it down and use it here.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit, if you would, on the topic that we were discussing prior to starting our interview, which is your dilemma between that you've been using broom sweepers, and of course they pick up all the dead cats, cardboard boxes, and sticks and those kinds of things, versus looking at the considered to be higher small micron pickup regenerative air or other types of air sweepers. So, mm-hmm. how does that shake out for you in terms of a policy decision?
We're still leaning towards mechanical type sweepers due to the tree cover we have in this area. We found that the mechanical sweepers do a great job on picking up the leaf and pine straw during the when the leaves are falling in the late summer, early spring. And the regenerative air just it has its application. You know, the literature I've read is that they're very strong in the Southwest, arid climates, where water is a precious commodity. So they're looking for, you know, dust control without water, and you're dealing with a finer precipitant. You know, here I've got coarse sand and a lot of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a sweeper does real good. A mechanical sweeper does really good on picking up a majority of the waste product in the
mm-hmm.
street.
Well, the question is, of course, you know, what your small micron percentage is, and then what the pollutant composition is in that. We do know that in a typical situation, and it's hard to know in any one geographic region, like we're talking about here in Florida, but, and of course, you know, you're known for your beaches, so I'm sure there's sand. Nationally, about 7 to 10% of the material is 250 microns or smaller, which is to say our hair is about 72 micron wide. So let's say three times as wide as our hair or smaller is only about 7 to 10%. But it's widely considered that many times in excess of 50% of the pollutant load targeted by the EPA is going to be in that 7 to 10, that relatively small fraction of material. So,
and right, Ranger, another perspective we've got here is we're one of the wetter areas in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Our typical rainfall is 64 inches a year, you know, better than 5 feet. And then we just went through a wet year. In 2009, we had 87 inches
mm-hmm.
of rainfall. So our objective is to get out there and pick it up before it rains.
Right.
With the number of rainfall events, we have no problems with rinsing off the fines into stormwater treatment facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Getting it up quick is a important issue with us.
I could see where that would be, because we're not talking about drizzle such as we have here in the Pacific Northwest.
On
when
on
it rains,
average, we have 196 rainfall events
throughout
the year.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if you compare that to the Southwest and the Western United States, and I guess you'd have to go up to Washington State where you're at to try to match that.
Well, but it doesn't match it. That's the thing, is because I've lived in Alabama for 8 years, which is how I got involved with the industry, you have these real hard rainfall events, and so it is completely different in the Northwest, too, where you have this kind of unending drizzle that doesn't really do a lot of transport, even with sand, and especially things like the leaf duff and that kind of thing from your trees. It's going to transport that clogging material. When it rains, it pours.
Right.
That makes quite a difference, too. Let's go back to the fact that your stormwater department is connected now to your sweeping department. I would encourage you to look at either the literature and or studies and or testing to see, would it be worth it to have, you know, a mixed fleet, where we know that in some instances you can put a broom sweeper out on a street and pick up 500 pounds per curb mile of mostly small micron debris by having an air sweeper behind a broom sweeper. So then the question is the cost of doing that higher or lower than allowing the material to run off into the catch basins, the small micron debris, and pick it up? You're fine with the pollutant load that isn't water soluble, but if it's water soluble, you're not going to pick it up in the filters. And you know, it's about half and half of the different types of pollutants.
I don't know if this is worth mentioning, but then on our state roads that we contract with the Department of Transportation to take care of the state roads around here from a sweeping perspective,
mm-hmm.
and all the major bridges, which we have quite a few, what we do is we tag team the sweepers. We'll have a regenerative air follow a mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does, it makes it a quick operation. We can go through, the mechanical will pick up coarse material. And on a bridge, you can find everything from life jackets to couch cushions to
right, right.
To
yeah.
landscaping material, gas cans. So it's real good about getting coarse material. And then on bridges, there tend to be a lot of rear end collisions, so you get a lot of glass and things
mm-hmm.
like that. The regenerative air is really good about picking stuff up like that. We keep the state really happy with that tag team scenario.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that people talk about with that they really like their mechanical brooms is that it will, you know, pick up all the bulky objects from mufflers to life jackets and, you know, those kinds of things. And you have to put somebody out in front with a chase truck to pick up those things if you're strictly running a regen air. And that's an expense, but the part that you also have to figure in is that's also a safety issue.
Right.
When you're on a place like a bridge, especially, that's semi-enclosed. So doing a tag team like you're talking about makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah, we've got the attenuator out there. We also like to do it very early in the morning on the state roads because of the volume of traffic. We're out there at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, between 2 and 5, if we,
mm-hmm.
that's our window of opportunity. If we can't get it done there, we get off and catch it another day.
We're clearly in an era where the value of street sweeping is becoming more visible, and part of that is the environmental times that we find ourselves in, and part of it is that the machines themselves are much more capable. Today's crop of broom sweepers have been shown to be much more effective than the older machines were in any event. So the good news is, whether it's broom sweepers or air sweepers, if you're in with the newer models of equipment, they're much more efficient than they used to be. What have you done in terms of trying to do an assessment of what the nutrient value might be in the material coming off the street?
Yeah, Ranger, our assessment process was very simple. We have weight tickets on, you know, the total tonnage collected, and then based on how this material has separated, we know that 10% of it's organic material. Then based on known factors for organic material, we were able to quantify that and relate that to pounds of nitrogen and phosphorus removed. And again, you know, we're going through the study process to better quantify these values, but, you know, for a first round educated guesstimate, we were able to attribute some nutrient reduction.
Well, if you recognize that 10% of your material is organic, and
correct.
you can make some leaps as in terms of what the nutrient average nutrient value would be in that.
Florida, that's becoming a very serious topic currently.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at an acronym called Numeric Nutrient Criteria, where our cohorts at EPA are setting some very stringent limitations for nitrogen and phosphorus.
That's one of those emerging things that's going to become more important as time mm-hmm. goes on, there's no question. And certainly with your groundwater as shallow as it is there.
Not necessarily groundwater, surface water. That's Florida's big claim to fame, is it's pristine waters and springs and streams and bays. You know, that's what, you know, brings people to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see the clean water. The clean beaches. And we're trying our best to keep it that way. You know, one closing point is we stress maintenance. You know, we've got our own in-house staff for making sure our sweepers stay operable. And that's been a godsend. You know, you're not relying on a contractor to send your equipment out to. We'll have 7 sweepers on the line every morning ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
If one needs to be repaired, there's always a spare. So,
well, and that having an in-house team like that also means that they're typically in better repair because you have the same guys working on them all the time and
right.
that sort of thing too.
The little things like, you know, making sure the oil gets changed when it's supposed to, and the sweeper operators have a routine of when they bring the sweeper in after it's been unloaded. Making sure it's clean, making sure it's lubed for the next morning, making sure it's fueled for the next morning, ready to go. 4 o'clock in the morning again, or 2 o'clock in the morning, whichever shift we're working that day.
That's an important consideration as well.
Yeah, if it sweeper operations without maintenance is asking for trouble.
That's for sure. Well, I sure appreciate your time. We've been speaking with Al Garza, and Al is the Director of Public Works for the City of Pensacola, Florida. Thank you very much, Al.
All right. Have a great day.